Friend Church, I am so excited and grateful that this day has come. It has been nearly 4 months since I've been here, but I'm seeing new faces that I haven't had the chance to meet you yet or get to know you, and I'm so happy and excited for this next season of our life together. I do want to acknowledge that I think it will still feel different and be different. Clearly, I don't recognize many of you with masks on as compared to your pictures in the directory, and I'm sure I'll have to be asking names for a while, but God is good, and we are here today. We've got a few announcements this morning, all of them in the back of your bulletin. Next week, we've got some committee meetings, finance, worship and music, the following week, along with council. Not listed in the bulletin, Tuesday, May 11th, the Fellowship Committee is going to meet at 6 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. If you're interested in joining the Fellowship Committee, you are invited to attend. In just a couple of Sundays, it will already be Pentecost, and we are going to have confirmation that Sunday as well. We have one confirmand, Madeline Lynn Blower, who will be doing her last confirmation session this afternoon. We've got several birthdays: Billy Curry, Allison Lohr, Rosalie Summer, and Melissa Frank. We've also got some anniversaries. James and Marie Palmer are not here today because they are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Donnie and Debbie Parsons, Lynn and Latifah Dennis, Chad and Caroline Hedrick. So let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We also learned this morning that we've got a couple of folks who are in need of prayer, so they will be added to the prayer list in the bulletin for next Sunday, but I invite you to pray for them this week already. We got a letter from Mavis Hall this week. She says, "Just to note to let you know, I fell and broke my hip March 13th. I've been in the hospital in rehab, and for the last 3 weeks, I've been in Charlotte with my daughter being spoiled. I'm doing very well and learning to do everything again. I plan to go back to Piedmont Crossing on Mother's Day. Tell everyone I say hello, Mavis." And Joshua Schuler, who is Jane DeBonaventura's stepson, has cancer and is going through treatment, and so we want to hold him in prayer as well. So let us pray for these prayer shawls and for these people. God, we give you thanks that you are always there when we call to you with thanksgiving and with cries of lament and help. And we thank you that you are with Mavis and Joshua through all that they have endured and all that they are about to endure. Pray that you would help Mavis to continue to learn how to do all that she needs her body to do so that she can return safely and well to her home. And we pray for Joshua as he endures the challenging treatment of cancer. Comfort him, guide him, and encourage him. God, thank you that you hold all of us in your hands always. In Jesus' name, amen. And one final note about the service. I hope all of you have read the protocols that have been approved by council. I can see you're already all wearing masks. There are going to be a few things about this service that will look and feel different, and we will try to guide you through those as the service goes on. But one to lift up is that during the hymn of the day, we will not be singing. We can't sing indoors, even if we are masked. But you are welcome to listen to the hymn and say the words out loud, or just listen and read the words. And when it comes time for communion, you will all stay where you are, and I will lead us all to take the elements together at the same time. Welcome, dear ones, into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. In thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine, apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Acts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join in." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get up and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generations? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with his scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azuna, Estina, Azotus. And as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So the psalm will be read responsively. From you comes my praise in this great assembly. The poor shall eat and be satisfied.
Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May their hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord,
who rules over the nations.
Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down in worship. Their descendants shall serve the Lord,
whom they shall proclaim to generations to come.
They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn.
Say to them, the Lord has acted.
The second reading is from John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfect in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have been seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Let us join together in the gospel acclamation. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward for a children's message. Isabel, will you get the candle lighter and bring it out? Hi, Conrad. Good to see you. Can I give you an elbow bump? There we go. Isabel is bringing out the candle lighter because I want to talk a little bit this morning about what an acolyte does. It's been a while since we've all worshiped together in person, so these next few weeks in the children's sermon, we're going to do a little refresher course on what some of the things we do in worship mean and why we do them. Because everything we do in worship is done for a reason and has deep meaning. So this morning, Isabel is the acolyte, and acolytes have been serving in worship since the year 250. So for almost 1800 years, acolytes have been present in worship, and it comes from a Greek word that means to help or to assist. And so traditionally, acolytes help assist in worship. In the past, they've done things like help with Holy Communion. When there's a gospel procession, the acolyte is a part of that. But these days in worship, it's primarily about lighting the candles. And so the acolyte has a candle lighter, and we hold it with the bell down and the light up, which would normally be lit, because when the acolyte enters into the worship space, they are following the light, which represents for us the light of Jesus. When the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, God provided for them a pillar of fire to lead them as they went. And so they were led by the light of that fire. Well, for us, Jesus is the light of the world. And so we follow, even if it's just with our eyes, we follow the light of Jesus into our worship space. And then after worship, the light exits the worship space just like we do, to go into the world and to love everybody and to tell them about how much God loves them. And so it doesn't matter how old you are still able to offer your time and energy to God, and God uses it and blesses us by the way that you serve as acolytes. And just a show of hands, how many of you have served as an acolyte at one point or another in your lives? Yes. Yes, this is a very meaningful service that anyone of any age can offer to the church. Let us pray together. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for our church.
Thank you for our church.
And thank you, Jesus,
that you are the light of the world.
Help us to follow you,
wherever you lead us.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thanks for coming up. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've had some beautiful weather as of late. In fact, yesterday I spent the morning at home in Winston-Salem with my mother planting flowers in quite a few of her planters. It was the perfect spring morning. It was a Carolina blue sky with hardly a cloud in sight. The sunshine felt really, really warm and good on our skin, and there was just enough of a breeze to feel comfortable and not too windy. After we finished planting, we decided to walk around her backyard for a little bit and look at some of the bushes and trees that she's got back there. Because earlier this winter, we had to have one of her trees taken down. It was a chestnut oak tree, and although we had known for a while that it was dead, it just wasn't something that she really wanted to spend that significant amount of money on. But it was right at our neighbor's fence, and she had told me that for some time she was quite worried that if we got a lot of rain or if we had some strong winds, she was worried it might blow over into their yard and cause some significant property damage. So she finally decided that it was time to spend that kind of money on having it removed. So a sunny morning in February, a handful of workers arrived with a lot of equipment. They worked all day long, and by the time they left, that tree was but a memory. I'm not a scientist, but what I understand to have happened was that a little bug called a two-lined chestnut borer got the best of it. The adult borers lay eggs in the crevices of the bark of the trees, and then the larvae create tunnels in those bark crevices that essentially cut off all the nutrients that would otherwise make the tree's branches and limbs grow. I think for most of us, we don't have to look too far to find everyday examples that help us deepen our understanding of what Jesus is getting at when he compares himself to the vine and us to the branches. It almost goes without saying that once a branch is cut off from its life source, it's simply not going to live long. Not to mention, it will be at the end of its fruit-bearing potential. I found myself thinking this week about that tiny two-lined chestnut borer and all of its friends, which couldn't be seen from the outside of the tree and certainly couldn't be seen with my eyes, but whose damage was deadly. And I got to thinking about what it is that gets under my bark and under your bark and under all of our skin, the things that get into our hearts and our minds that threaten to cut off that which feeds our spirits, which are called to abide in Jesus, the only one who gives us life. It would be quite easy to turn these words of Jesus into pure law, words about that which we can do. And I think it's fairly easy to do that because we can very easily and probably very quickly come up with a list of do's and don'ts and shoulds and shouldn'ts, which when accomplished could help us to continue to abide in Jesus. As I've done some reading on our chestnut tree, it seems possibly that we could have done better to maintain it, and perhaps there were some things we could have done to keep those little two-line chestnut borers from taking up residence in our tree. But the truth is, on its own, the tree could not prevent this deadly invasion. As its keepers, maybe we could have, but The tree couldn't do it on its own, and we can't do it on our own either. But Jesus can. And I think in the end, that's really the point of the image that Jesus is offering us today. It's almost next to impossible for us to fend off all the host of things that threaten to interfere with our staying alive in Jesus. I mean, think with me for a moment all that would make up that list. Temptations and trials of any and all kinds. Unrealistic hopes and ungrounded fears. Undeserved wealth and unjust poverty. Any and all of these, and a thousand more, can too easily cut us off from the source of our life, the only source of life that matters. And they could do so in such a way that we may not notice at first, until we start to realize that we are simply dying around the edges, just like that chestnut tree. These words of Jesus, they do warn us to stay close to him and to allow ourselves to be as automatically nurtured and as easily nurtured as branches are, and as much as the branches take in the nourishment of the vine. We can't help but ignore the fact that we do need to be vigilant about things so that we don't come to believe that they could actually take the place of the vine. Because I think all of us know in our hearts and minds that nothing could ever take the place of the true vine. But sometimes we forget that, and other things become bigger and seem that they are more life-giving. But the gospel makes it clear. Branches that don't produce fruit will be removed by the vine grower. And the branches that do produce fruit will be pruned. No matter what kind of branch we are, there will be cutting. But even if we are being pruned, it's so that we can produce more fruit, more of the fruit of love. But more than all of that, it seems to me that Jesus is offering us an amazing gift in these words. We have been handed the source of life itself. God has made us and all creatures, and God has given us our bodies and souls, our eyes and ears, and all of our members. And in the gift of baptism, we die to sin and rise again to new life in Christ. We are grafted into the body of Christ and are made branches of the life-giving vine. We don't do anything to deserve this grafting or the life and the nutrients that the vine gives to us. It's all a gift from God. All we have to do is stay attached. And while we stay attached, let us remember that Jesus is a far more attentive caregiver than my mother and I were to the tree, because all we need to do is allow ourselves to stand in God's care. Beloved, let yourself stay in God's care and be attached to the vine. And come to the table where the source of all our life provides for us his body and blood and all the nutrients we need as we move forward in this journey of life, that we might be nurtured and nourished with the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Living together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come and judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Alive in the risen Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. God of all fruitfulness, you abide in your church, and your church abides in you. Cleanse us by your word, and give yourself to the whole earth, to the whole church on earth, so that it bears fruit and witnesses to your love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. You have created the heavens and the earth. As we wonder at the beauty of creation, may we care for the earth and all its creatures in ways that delight and honor you. Hear us, O Lord.
Your mercy is great.
You rule the nations with justice and love. Give the leaders of our earth assurance of your abiding presence, that they lead not by fear, but with love for those they are called to serve. Hear us, O God. You have loved us so that we can love others. We pray for all in need of your love, those who are poor, lowly, outcast, weak, or fearful. Provide for the needs of all, especially Gary, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Harold, Michael, Steve, Herbert, Bobby and Jana, Gary and Judy, Latifa, Mavis, and Joshua. We also pray for our family and friends listed in the bulletin and those we now name aloud in our hearts or on our lips. Hear us, O God. You gather us with all the saints by the power of your Spirit. With them may our hearts live forever in your keeping. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In the hope of new life in Christ, we raise our prayers to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. At this time, I invite you to stay where you are, but turn around and offer a sign of peace to those around you. At this time, we bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Although we aren't passing the offering plates, they are at each of the entrances so that as you came in, you could drop your offering in the plate, or as you leave, you can do that as well. But part of our worship is that we bring our tithes and our offerings to the Lord because God has given us all that we have and all that we are, and we offer it back as a portion of our gratitude. I invite you now to stand again. We just sat down. We might as well have stayed standing for the offertory hymn.
Let us pray. God of love, you call us beloved children and welcome us to your table. Receive our lives and the gifts we offer. Abide with us and send us in service to a suffering world. For the sake of your beloved child, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us and send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. When we eat this bread, we share in the body of Christ. And when we drink this cup, we share in the blood of Christ. Reveal yourself to us, O Lord, in the breaking of bread, as you once revealed yourself for disciples. The risen Christ invites us to this table. Come, eat, and be satisfied. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. I now invite you to take your communion kit with the bread and the wine. We have found that it is easier to take the bread first and the wine second. And now the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. Amen. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Wellspring of joy, through this meal you have put gladness in our hearts. Satisfy the hunger still around us and send us as joyful witnesses that your love may bring joy to the hearts of all people. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
As the service concludes, the ushers will one by one allow for each pew to exit. You may go to either exit that you came in if you'd like. And I will be out there to greet folks if you would like that as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
And now our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.